This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Three-hour banger lined up today. Good guests on the program, including ESPN Cleveland legend Tony Rizzo.
Oh, yeah.
In 30 minutes live at the Combine. Also, Pauly, we get Knicks Cavs tonight. Huh? How good is that? Jeff Seely, best bets, placement markets, analysis on the Cognizant Classic this weekend. Derek Stevens in studio. We have a big event going on tonight outside of the sports world that will be super popular with bettors, no doubt about that. We'll get into tonight's college basketball card. I owe everybody a beer that followed me on a bet yesterday. My apologies. And a big card in the NBA tonight. What is your biggest reaction overall of Kansas kind of thumping Houston there at the end of the night last night?
The big Monday record. They don't lose back-to-back games at home. They rarely have long winning losing streaks. You thought they would respond after getting embarrassed.
Okay, you get one, not seven.
But also, the level of concern with Houston.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. That they lost to Texas Tech. They lost at Iowa State. They lost at Kansas. Suddenly it's like, okay, well, it's college hoops. You're supposed to win at home. What's going on when you get away from home? Which you have a great program, and you are expected and are treated like a contender in a top five team. But suddenly, in a tough league, you're 11-4, and now you're losing some games here. That's you know, you had the three-game – that's a three-game losing streak now. So I would say the level of concern is sky high because we have seen that Kansas can bounce back. We have seen that Kansas – has a pretty good team, especially when Peterson has everything working. But I think there's more question marks about Houston and what's going on offensively. That it goes back to 3-4 years. There was going to be a 5-minute drought,
yep,
where they don't score and they have to get bailed out defensively.
Well, I think you that's the one I was looking for right there. And this is Evan Maia is awesome on college basketball, and as he pointed out on Twitter last night, Houston has been in the national title conversation for most of the year. But now they're 0-5 in their toughest games. Tennessee on a neutral as well.
That's a good point, yes.
So that's not great. But, I mean, look, we'll tie in both games last night, and you made the point that you thought the number got out of control with Louisville being favored at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, North Carolina was without Caleb Wilson again, but
different team at home.
Oh, no question about that. And also they got one of their other better players back a couple games ago. So you tie in that on Big Monday with Kansas being a dog yet again. These opportunities don't come across very often.
Yeah.
Like, I want to back Bill Self at home when he's a dog on Big Monday, like, every single time. And this is maybe the most amazing thing from T3 Bracketology on X. You want to talk about a wild stat? Bill Self has now lost at Fog Allen Fieldhouse 23 times in his career to 23 different coaches.
Mm.
The same coach has never gone in there and defeated him twice. What?
That's good, yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's good. Number one, that's going to be an incredible conference tournament. And then that Friday night is still the best day of the college basketball season when all these conference tournaments are going on. Because the depth and how good this league is. But the other thing is that voodoo, satanic black magic with that number. Louisville opened 1.5, bet up to 4, lost. Houston laying 1.5, lost big. Pistons laying 1.5, routed.
After halftime was never really a game.
Luke, the angles hit 6 in a row. The last 6 have been taking the 1.5.
Right.
It's like that voodoo where they put up, and there's a big game tonight. I think it's Nevada, New Mexico, the line was 1.5. But they're begging you to take that favor when they're laying 1.5 too, and they never get there, it seems, since we've been tracking.
Yeah, as Human says, he calls it kind of a false favorite.
Right.
Or a fishy favorite at that number. And that has certainly, played out this way in college basketball anyway. And I'm going to call my shot right now. Did you see the number after last night, what took place? Peterson played a bunch of minutes. He did not, have his best game of the year. Have you seen the number one overall pick odds now?
The Banch is favored.
It's favored.
Yeah.
I think there's been now an overcorrection. And when I was talking about this, I think before our vacation, like around 5-1, that was the time to get down to DeBanza. I think this is going to play out where Darren Peterson's dad is correct. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. and Darren Peterson is going to play the rest of the year. And I think there's a good, this team is really, really good with him. I think they make a deep run in the tournament. And the number right now on him to be plus money to go number one in the draft, I think that there's a chance where that could turn back into like minus $5 or minus $1,000 by draft night. I think all of this stuff, I think there was, we kicked this around on the show yesterday. GBT and I did on Pod of the Futures, taped it last night. Some of it maybe is real. I don't think, you know, I think it'd be kind of silly to come here and say that, you know, there wasn't an issue every single time, but maybe made up or, you know, the agent was saying we're not going to play tonight. I do think there's an angle there where most of the stuff, there was a problem. And so if this kid now, after hearing all the negativity again, NFL's over, guys. So it's going to be tons of college basketball and tons of March Madness. Like, he's got eyes and ears, as, you know, his parents do as well. Dad does, agent does. And I think, what if he plays out the rest of the year? This team goes on a long run, and right now grabbing like plus 120 on him. I know it's not until June, but well, that could happen.
I'm here for anything and everything. Number one, the Cincinnati game on Profit X, there were markets like 90% he would take himself out of the game.
Yeah.
90% chance. That still exists. The timing of the article on ESPN.com, I would like to coach you. It would be nice to try to coach you. And how he's calling the shots. And then, you know, the competitive stuff too. The other thing is, what can the team do? Joe Lunardi Bracketology has him a 3 seed. I could see them winding up against a St. Louis and losing in the second round or making a deep run. Because they're inconsistent.
Well, right? I mean.
But I mean, I could see them as a 2 or a 3 seed or a 4, I guess, making a run or going bowing out right away.
Sure, because what if I'm wrong on that and he does have the, quote, cramps again in a game? And he has to leave 6 minutes in, and they're a 2 or a 3 seed, and they're playing a really good team in the second round. Like, I honestly, nobody knows, and I, this was all over Twitter last night, this might be the most difficult team to have the pulse on, like, that we've ever watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they looked, they took apart Houston in the second half last night.
Plus, you can also still win with the talent you have and have a bad chemistry.
Yeah, true.
That can still happen, too. Yeah. Talent can carry and win the day. So as we get close to March in the conference tournaments, do you think this is more wide open than what people think? And I know Will Hill was kicking this around with Arizona, Duke, Michigan against the field. Who would you have? I asked you about a month ago, Arizona, Michigan against the field. And now Duke has been great, and then Duke takes out Michigan.
Well, I so the field would then include Florida and every other team in the country. So I'd be intrigued by the field.
And after what we saw last year, with all 4 1-seeds get there?
Well, who is, by the way, so let's say that three teams do get there as in the Final Four. Then you only get one other team, obviously.
I feel good about UConn. I'd feel good about Florida.
I feel good about Illinois.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because then I have concerns about Iowa State and definitely Houston away from home and how they've struggled in their big games, and a lot of concerns about Purdue, Gonzaga, your Virginia team, and then we're getting into Nebraska's and – and then there's Kansas again at once we get outside the top 10.
Yeah, that would be another one, too. It's like, if Peterson's going to be there, you're going to get the Jayhawks. Like, again, if that kid's on the court, I'll take my chances against pretty much any team in the country.
All right.
Although they're a better team on off, you know, when he's not there, has been. But that's also been tricky here for the first 3 months of the year. Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I'll give you this from Mackin and vsin.com. Great trends to close out the year. Over the last 8 years, home teams, Power 5, during the final 2 weeks, a lot of games. This is a big sample size, Paulie. 743 and 427 straight up. 618 and 530 ATS. That's 53.8%. Last season, 54.2%. You can sit back, kick back the feet, kick them up anyway, and just retire at that number. In the end of the 2 games last night, they both got there. Total, same pattern. These games have gone over at 54.3% over the last 8 years and 57.4% over the last 4. He points out late season urgency tends to mean tempo, fouling extensions, absolutely, and more offensive emphasis. Points out the market has adjusted, but not fully.
All right. America's team in action. It's an early start. What do you think? Miami, Ohio team total again?
I was going to ask you.
Do it.
You brought it up last game. Do we want to do it again?
Yep. It's 11-1 overrun. It's again, it's 81.5. Big size road team, road favorite, trying to get to 28-0. and then they averaged 92 a game. And they had 45 Friday night with 3 minutes left until halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot of threes, talented team, much the best in that league, and also have to keep winning these games as they're the most talked about team with the at-large committee, what they did, at-large bid, rather, and the mock committee that they did with the media. Try to get to 31. And I think if you get to 31-0 regular season, it doesn't matter what happens in the conference tournament. That was most of the takeaways from the people in the media in that room, although they had them last four in, losing in the conference title game. But if you get to 31-0, come on.
Now you got to be in. So this is for the radio audience right now, right? Miami, we just showed a graphic. They are 18-6 ATS. That is tied for the best mark in the country, or 17-7, depends on where you grade it. Eastern Michigan is also one of the best teams in the country at covering numbers. They've covered 18 times this year. Miami is also 17-7 over on the year. That's the fourth best mark in the entire country. Would you look at, this is tough to find here in Las Vegas, brought this up on Friday night. The first half team total was 37.5, I think you maybe split it or bet them both, right? Bet first half and for the game.
Sounds good. Yep. And I expect a letdown for Duke tonight.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
They're also
Peterson makes the game 13.5.
Yeah.
So to get 18.5 in pocket here with Duke in a great letdown spot after the huge win Saturday in a short turnaround. And money on nonstop money on Dayton. St. Louis was 6 on the road. It's down to 3.5.
Yep. Duke's also one of the best teams of the under on the year at 19-8. A question we kicked around a couple of weeks ago: will a Super Bowl market do more volume than an event taking place tonight? That's how popular this bad boy is looking.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paul, let's go back the week of the Super Bowl. Remember when we did that whole segment, Beyond, and we brought on David Purdon from ESPN, who had that great story about the popularity of mention markets on football broadcasts and whether or not, you know...
what the announcer will say.
Yeah, what they were going to say during the Super Bowl.
Guys who research it, study it, big bets on it, yes.
Yep.
Weather, what a catch, all this stuff. And the menu was incredible.
I think it was, 5-6 million in that range traded on that. And at the time, David Purdom had a quote in his story from somebody who was trading in prediction markets on Super Bowl mention markets. And this person said, quote, a big question people have is, will Trump's State of the Union address or the Super Bowl announcer mention market do more volume? This person told him, I personally think the State of the Union will do more volume, but I could definitely see the Super Bowl competing. I'm looking right now, the way it looks with the volume and how they put that on the front page of these prediction markets, it's going to blow away the Super Bowl tonight. The State of the Union is coming up a little bit later on, and there's a bunch of ways to attack this, I think. First of all, for Trump to say, just to say the word cartel tonight earlier was about 79%. So... if you wanted to put down 500 at that number, you'd get back like a little bit more than 100, 5,000, a little bit more than 1,000. It's now at about 83%. After what happened this weekend, he's not going to say cartel? Doesn't that feel like it's almost free money to you?
Yes, but more so Olympics, hockey, USA. It seems like free. The guys are going to be there. The team's going to be there.
Sure.
So he's going to mention and honor them and point out, hey, you got the invite to the State of the Union. And
it's 92% Olympics, 90% for hockey.
Yeah, that he's going to say hockey Olympics. I didn't see gold medal mentioned, but the fact that he's going to say hockey 90% Olympics, 92%, absolutely that's going to happen, that they're going to be there. And I will also say artificial intelligence and alien also will come in. And well, that's like 86% with the controversy and, you know, with some of Obama and what happened in the last week or so, too.
Sure. And this, for people who went back and tracked this in 2025, it was not an official State of the Union address. It was an unofficial State of the Union. But he used the word alien or alien six times then. He used trillion or trillions five times. That's actually number one right now. It's 94% that he'll say trillion tonight. He used fraud four times. And a year ago, he said cartel or cartels four times.
That's, it keeps taking under money in some of the markets. It's down 4% in the last 10, 15 minutes.
To use cartel?
Cartel.
I have to play that tonight.
I know. I'm with you on that. Yes.
He also said that he used the name, his own name, Trump, three different times. He used egg and eggs twice, Golden Dome twice, Foster twice, cancer twice, the radical left once, and then it just goes on and on and on. Like, there's something up tonight, drill, baby, drill. He used that once last time.
That's down, too.
That's, what, around 40%?
Yeah.
In that range?
It was up to 46. It's down to 43. And I find some of this stuff fascinating, though, based on the market. And discombobulator continues to move.
Where is that at
now? There was a guy, it's up to 11%. It was 6.
Yeah, a guy put like a nickel on it at 6%, and he tweeted it out. I think that helped, you know, that, and also that bet probably moved it a little bit.
Uh-huh. UFC is mentioned. He's got to sneak that in, too, doesn't he?
UFC is a...
They're going to do an event at the White House.
That is... Hold on.
And he... Sure, while you're looking. It's
up from 30 to 34% right now.
Yeah, I would think he... And I also like the over and how long he's going to talk. But I would think that he would sneak that in there, too, based on the McGregor tweets and also that they're going to do an event there.
And here's a question for the audience as well. Because plenty of you definitely track this and you get involved in the markets on top of it. X is the best way to get in touch with us on the show when we're live. It's at VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Will he use the word crypto or Bitcoin tonight? We were talking about this with a couple of guys on the show before it started. They're really into it. They each have some Bitcoin. And as we kind of hash it out, I thought at 30%, there's a lot going on, obviously, with either saying crypto or Bitcoin. His son is, in the news, and he's been evidently scrubbing everything, all of his mentions, with crypto or Bitcoin in the last, like, 12 hours. One person thinks, yeah, it's worth a shot at 30%. Another person said, I'm going to go contrarian here. And even though it's the favorite that he's not, he said he doesn't think that Trump's going to go down that path tonight. Because I think at now 20, it's now 29% for him to say crypto or Bitcoin. It's down. Doesn't he want to? That's not going to be a mention. Again, he brought it up before.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's got to be something that you can get involved with and catch a nice ROI tonight.
Yes, and see if discombobulator is one of them.
Maybe that is.
The egg is down 10 now, 10%.
Okay.
But his go-to, and it seemed that way for a long time, was fake news. You think you get a 50-50 shot
it's
fake 50-50 news,
it seemed
that, that'd be a good bet, too, that he uses that.
Yeah.
But that's down 3%. That's 52% right now that he says that during the State of the Union.
You can also bet on the length overall of the State of the Union, and they have alt numbers basically on this, all the way from an hour up to 100 minutes. And again, it was the unofficial State of the Union back in 2025. He went for an hour, 39 minutes, and 32 seconds. And overall, he has an average State of the Union address of an hour, 20 minutes, and 20 seconds. That's higher than the next closest president, which was Bill Clinton, at an hour, 14 minutes, and 51 seconds. So it's trending here. Like, it's all saying that he's going to go over an hour and a half, but you could get, it was like around 24% that he's going to go below 90 minutes in the speech tonight. And if you go back and look in 2018, 2019, and 2020, he went for 80 minutes the one time, 82 minutes the next, and 78 minutes in 2020. Does he have to go over 90 minutes tonight? Again, I don't follow politics that closely. I try to avoid it like the plague. I've hated it since high school.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to make money on this, obviously. And then, good breakdown from covers.com. Over his three addresses during his first term, He said more than 17,000 words across three speeches. He mentioned people by name 185 times. He mentioned his predecessor twice in total. Sleepy Joe tonight is 33%. And he mentioned his wife the most times out of any individual, 8 times. Have you seen her listed, though?
Yeah, so they have mentions. What's he going to say?
Who as well.
They will have who will he mention, and they will have what places will he mention. And it's a laundry list. Like, he could get that many places in 90 minutes. Who will he mention? Biden's up to 94%. Huge move on Charlie Kirk. He was 61. Now he's 81%.
Okay.
Bondi's 54%. She keeps moving over. Or keeps going over, rather. Taking over money. It's wild to see all the places that are listed for what places will he mention. Which, like, how many can he really say? That's hard where you're thinking. Because I tried to clock this while the Super Bowl was going on with the mentions.
Right.
And it's hard to pay attention and what stuff going back to what the menu was. But how many places can he get in there and fit in?
Did he?
In all that. And Minnesota, Minneapolis, 71%.
What's Mexico?
All the way up. I imagine it's top of the list.
I would have to think so.
Oh, 90%.
It's 90%?
Yeah.
That man, if Mexico...
Russia's 89. Yeah, Canada, 83.
If Mexico is 90%, don't we have to bet cartel at 80%? How does he mention Mexico, not say cartel?
Well, I don't know. Remember going back, what was it, a month ago, 2 months ago? Where one of these crazy things cashed where it was...
Oh, yeah.
He said it verbatim.
Yep.
It was a crazy phrasing, and he said it word for word that cashed one of the markets.
Thanks to NJD107 on X. He put a couple of screen grabs together. According to PBS News, his State of the Union will be more than 2 hours, with one source saying it could be up to 3 hours. It can't be 3 hours, can it? I mean, my God almighty. So that's why right now 120 minutes or above is 44%. 150 minutes or above is at 57%. There's almost $1 million being traded right now in that market alone for how long it's going to be. The reason why I don't like politics is because they try to set us up in high school, like you're going to take one side, another person's going to take another. You couldn't even have a logical debate when you're 16 years old. I'm like, oh, what are we doing here? This sucks. But on the flip side, the reason why I don't like watching the State of the Union as well, how many applauses are we going to get tonight? Mm-hmm. It's like a laugh track on a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch either Friends, or what was the one with Charlie Sheen where... Men? Two and a half men?
Two and a half men, yeah.
Oh, my God. The laugh track ruins the show. Every 2 seconds, people are laughing. It's like the State of the Union. Every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. The whole place. It's like, what? Can you let them talk for 90 seconds without doing that again? Anyway, but there's got to be a way for us to come together and have some, you know, logical thinking about this to make money and capitalize on it tonight, I would think.
I would say, yes, hockey, gold, Olympics. It's got to be right there right off the bat.
Up next, we'll go to the Combine and talk Cavs-Knicks. Friend of the show, ESPN legend Tony Rizzo joins us on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Talk some NFL, a big game tonight in the NBA as well. We go back to the Combine as a longtime friend of the show now, legend in Cleveland. Tony Rizzo joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. What's up, T. Rizzo? How are you?
Guys, doing well here in Indy. Apologize for the service, but we're in between it right now. This center here is unbelievable, you know, the convention center, but it is all concrete, and I'll do my best.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate it. We know it's hectic there, obviously. So you were right in the middle of this today when Browns GM Andrew Berry did not give a timetable for a decision for a starting quarterback this year. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, guys, I've been waiting 6 years for Andrew Berry to give me a timetable for a franchise quarterback. Okay? They're open to anything. They wanted this message sent out today. They're open to anything. They asked if they would you bring in another veteran besides Watson. He said, we're open to anything. They said, is Shador the starter, QB1 for OTAs? He said, it's an open competition. So they're either trying to get a veteran guy. I can't imagine them drafting another quarterback. My Lord, if they were to do that, bring a fourth quarterback in after they botched that thing last year like that, I'd be amazed. I could see him standing pat with the three and bringing in a camp arm, you know, kid, a late round pick, or, you know, somebody who's, I think Tyler Huntley's still out there and he's got connections here. So they have a lot of options. None of them all that good.
No, no. Sanders is trading at the favorite 50%. In that range to start week one. How big of a loss is it that Schwartz left?
Well, it depends. Listen, Jimmy ran a great defense here, mm-hmm. but he got Myles Garrett to the Hall of Fame. He did. But that attack style only went so far. And there were a few games where specifically that playoff game against Houston where it really cost them. So the Browns are going in a different direction. They'll miss Jim. There's no doubt about it. I don't know how that's going to end, by the way. There's some thought that Vrabel could ask him to be a senior assistant for the Patriots the way Mike was for the Browns last year. Would the Browns let him do that? That's a question we've been asking ourselves here in Cleveland. But other than that, Jim Schwartz probably not coaching at all this year, guys.
At all. Wow, okay. I thought he did a damn good job there as well. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah. But more quarterback, like they don't have the room to go out and get a guy like Malik Willis or Kyler Murray, do they?
Guys, those names come up and we just shake our heads. No, Mitch, they don't. Now, I don't know. Andrew Berry has kicked the can down the road to where whether or not Joel Bitonio comes back, it's $23 million on your cap this year. He's $60 million, and that's not counting if he's going to kick the Watson can down the road again. It's like a credit card. It's like a revolving debt. With a credit card. They just keep doing this to make salary cap room. Now, the cap will be over $300 million this year, we think. So that'll give them some room. But no, Mitch, to answer your question, they really don't have that kind of money. And they've got a guy on their roster that cost them $240 million and hadn't done squat. Mm-hmm. Why not get a look at him? I don't know.
Yeah. The win total is 6.5. Rodgers might come back. Paulie, they're going to win seven games?
God.
Go ahead.
Paulie, I can't. I'd go broke betting the Browns overs. You know that, guy. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Okay. Under 6.5 it is. What's the best rumor, hottest rumor you've heard in Indy?
I've heard a bunch of stuff. There's, the Tua stuff's interesting. Like, good mm-hmm. luck trying to find. The guy came out today and said we're going to try and look for a trade. Good luck with that. With that cap number and the history, you know, with the concussions, I wouldn't say that, but the big news, I couldn't believe this. I didn't look it up, but I'm almost sure it's through 21 new OCs this year in the National Football League.
Wow.
Three of them are in the AFC North. 21 new OCs this year, and if you don't think offense is running the NFL right now, it definitely is.
Yeah, and we asked you a couple of weeks ago when you were in studio, like, does it feel like Carnell Tate, if he's there at number 6, wide receiver from Ohio State? You said probably wide receiver. If he's gone, I think they probably even have to consider, like, Lemon from USC, don't they?
Mitch, I'm starting to think that the way there's not a superstar at the top of this draft other than Mendoza, and we'll see, that the Browns could trade down from 6 and acquire picks. Barry did it last year, and they thought they'd have a big pick. Don't forget with Jacksonville, and then Jacksonville wound up being great. I could see them doing that again. They're going to need a tackle. They got to take an offensive lineman or three, but certainly one in the first round out of the first two picks. And yeah, they need a wideout. How much would they fall in love with a Carnell Tate? Mekhi Lemon. I don't know. I was with Greg Cosell today. Mm-hmm. I was with Mike Florio today. They were all saying there's no Jamar Chase in this draft. There's not. So, you know, I watched Carnell play almost his whole college career at Ohio State. He's a great receiver. But if you're looking for a 9.9, that's not available this year.
Very good. ESPN Cleveland, Tony Rizzo, our guest, the real T Rizzo on X on the Progressive Guest Line. Perfect timing. Cavs at home tonight against the Knicks. Barkley said the Cavs are coming out of the East on Sunday. They've been playing great. They had the tough loss against OKC. OKC couldn't miss from three. Cavs up to 4.5 tonight. How you feeling about the Cavs and since the Harden trade?
Guys, you know we have Brian Windhorst on every week on our show mm-hmm. in Cleveland, and he said that the Cavs, they're finding their way. Kenny Atkinson's got a lot of pieces parts. They got dudes coming off the bench. They've got good deep players, a deep roster. And he's got to find the right combination right now. Brian said, and I quote, it's like it's November for the Cavs and they're trying to find their way. They got 20-some games left, but I think they'll be dangerous. The Harden thing is amazing. I mean, he has been so far so good. I'm knocking out wood. He's been a great teammate. He's been really just what they needed. He is energized, Donovan Mitchell. Guys, remember this. The Cavs are making moves so that Donovan Mitchell signs another extension in this offseason. That's why they got rid of Garland. That's why they're doing all they can to go all in this year. They want him to sign that extension so that he'll be here for at least another 3 years. And that's driving the Cavaliers' moves right now.
Well, I think
that
this is...
And hold on. That and they think they have a shot. The East is wide open. What do you guys like in the East?
That's what I was going to bring up, right? That's why it's so juicy, is because the East can absolutely be had. But now you have to rely on James Harden getting the team actually over the hump and into the NBA Finals, which he has never done before.
Well, that's another option for them late in the game, or if they need a guy to get hot. And he has really been a teammate in this whole thing. He hasn't forced it at all. He's feeding the bigs. Now, Mobley came back and Allen kind of went south again. But when Mobley was out, he was feeding Allen. Allen was playing like an all-star. He really was. And I think that James has energized his franchise, man. The Cavs, they're very excited. They are. Fans are very excited, too.
Easy schedule the rest of the way as well.
Yeah, I bet them. I got them. What did I get them? Over 51.5, and I got a nice plus number. Yeah.
Good for you. I thought that was
a couple weeks ago.
I thought that was a funny comment that Harden said. I didn't know Allen was this good.
He didn't know anybody.
Yes.
Guys, how about this? So the Cavs signed James Harden or made the trade on, what, a Monday or Tuesday? They had a game on Friday. They couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was. He literally showed up like the day of the game. Said, "I'm here. This is my uniform."
What?
Hilarious, man.
They couldn't get a hold of him.
When did they make that trade? Guys,
no, you're right. No, it was a Monday.
I don't know if it was a Monday, right?
Yeah.
Right. They had a game. They had a game like on Thursday or whatever. And people said they didn't see him until game day. He showed up. I don't know.
James. What's the story behind that? Has anything come out?
James had to acclimate himself to Cleveland. You know, come on.
are the Cleveland shaker joints that good that we don't know about?
Hey, come on, man. It was so funny. You know, the clubs had the welcome James, you know, on the billboards.
Oh, no.
They're on social media. The clubs in Cleveland had welcome James Harden. You know, can't believe it.
What a thing to be known for.
No kidding.
He'll drop so much money in gentlemen's clubs and his jerseys retired.
In all honesty, I think he agreed to come to Cleveland. One, two reasons. Number one, they're going to give him another year next year. So they're going to guarantee his contract to give him another year. They have to. Otherwise, he wouldn't have no-traded. But he came here because he thought he had a chance to win a title. He wants to win. He does. You know, he's at the end. He's going the end of his career, and he wants to win a title. So
that is all true.
Yeah.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, pal.
Get a steak tonight.
Always a pleasure, guys. Yeah, a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. Beautiful Indianapolis.
Thanks, buddy.
Here we go. Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland, Progressive Guest Line, at the Real T Rizzo on X. Downtown Indy's great. I've got to say it every time there's an event there.
Where's his jersey retired? Is it Atlanta or Houston?
Probably both. Well, isn't it that, what's the Magic place called in Atlanta? Magic City? I thought I was retired there. Or am I getting it mixed up with one of the several places in Houston?
Houston, okay. Yeah. He spent $1 million. They retired his jersey.
Career or one night?
Good question. God. No, one night.
Did it in one night.
Yep.
One night. What do you get for $1 million?
Oh, no. Whatever you want.
No kidding. You just name it.
Oh, boy.
$1 million. Was he making it rain, too, the entire time? Had to have been.
What is... Oh, God.
Wow. All right. Win, lose up next. Paulie's going to tell you about a team that is now 15-3 under this scenario on the season. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
time to look at the Cognizant Classic. Our buddy, Indy Jeff Seely, joins the program now one day early. He is traveling tomorrow. You can follow him on X at Cupmaker Jeff. And the Cupmaker podcast is off this week, coming back next week. Jeff joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, buddy, good afternoon. I want to begin with this, an email that I sent over to you from Sean, who was asking about placement markets, specifically the top 10, because that's what he prefers to bet every week on the PGA Tour. And he said he likes to pick a couple of guys in the 3-1 to 5-1 range. And he points out, if I bet 333, I can make a profit. Anyway, he feels like the market has over-adjusted in signature events. Because the fields are smaller, the placement markets have much less value. For example, on FanDuel, you have to go down about 25 guys on the board to hit 3-1 in the top 10 market. He calls that brutal. Typically, you're at about 12 to 13 guys deep. And this is without Scottie Scheffler in the tournament. The field is 40% smaller, but I think the adjustment is too much. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to agree with that in general. I think it is harder in smaller fields, especially no cut of to be in some of those placement markets. So no, I generally agree with that. And you know, it's interesting. A week like this is interesting, where you have a much weaker field, a little bit more wide open, and you know we're going to talk about a couple guys here in a second. But like you could take this week. Let's say you like Brooks Koepka, who's taken second here before, right? You can get Koepka top 10 at 3-1 this week. You can get Davis Thompson 3-1 top 10. You can get one of the guys I like this week, Max McGreevy, a lot. You can get him at better than 3-1 top 10. So I think with weeks like this that are a really good chance to take advantage of that versus the smaller field signature events.
Okay, take us through your approach here and what you're doing and a little bit about the course, please.
Yeah, guys, so we're at PGA National. This is the formerly the Honda Classic. There's tons of water. If you've seen it on TV, water on 15 holes, 60 bunkers, lots of birdie opportunities and lots of bogey opportunities, lots of trouble. So I took a little bit of a different approach this week, and really I looked at the top four guys at the top of the board, and given the pricing, I think I like all of them just because you can get them around that 20-1, and you can get them all roughly even money. Top 20. So the first guy is Ryan Gerard. Grades out number one in my model. Leads the field in total strokes gained, and he's third on approach. 17th in the field strokes gained at this event over the past 2 years. So he's had solid experience, good form coming in. Had back-to-back runner-ups earlier this year in a T11 at the Farmers. The AI Sims love him as well, ranking him number one. So Gerard's a terrific play. Shane Lowry is sort of a course horse here, third in total strokes gained, ranked second by the AI Sims, and is top 20 in the field in putting, last 24 rounds as well. This is really his only positive putting surface. Comes in having finished inside the top 25 in four straight events, so I think it's a good time to back Shane Lowry. And then the Højgaard brothers. Nikolai comes in ranked third by the AI Sims. He's 12th in strokes gained here last 2 years. Then has solid putting. Finished 22nd in the Farmers and third at the Waste Management. So he's trending in the right direction. Third in the field in total strokes gained, second in boat bogey avoidance, which you're looking for when you got a ton of water. So I like him. And then his brother Rasmus is by far the best putter of the group, ranked second in the field in putting over his last 24 rounds. And this is his best putting surface by far. Second in the field in total strokes gained, fifth in birdies. So it's easy to click his name as well. So I'm making pretty decent sized bets on all of those guys to finish top 20. And then betting about a quarter of those units on the outright. So that's my approach this week. I'm kind of covering the top four because there aren't huge favorites, and there's really, really good reasons to like all of those guys. And I'm just going to play a few more guys a little further down the board.
Okay, well, let's get there then. Middle of the board, around 40-1 or so. Who do you want to start with there?
Yeah, guys, I mentioned Max McGreevy. He's a guy you can look at. You can get a really good price on top 10. He's 40-1. Tops in the field in total strokes gained here the last 2 years. Comes in top 10 in tee to green and total strokes gained. This is his only good putting surface, and he plays really well in weak fields like this. AI Sims ranked him at 7 overall, and I think he's very worthy of a top 20 play at plus 160, which is where I bet him. And then you can bet a little bit on the outright at the 40-1. And then Korn Ferry legend Johnny Kiefer, 52-1, 2-1 top 20, comes in ranked second in my model, largely due to the fact that he's first in greens in regulation, fifth on approach, eighth in tee to green, and third in birdies or better. So this is a good guy we've mentioned before. has broke all of Scotty's Korn Ferry records. Ball striking is improving every week. He's made five straight cuts coming in. His around-the-green game usually kills him. I think that should be irrelevant here this week. And so I think it's a great week to hop on Kiefer. I'm going to bet him some on the outright, but I love the 2-1 on the top 20 as well.
Yep. I think before I saw your notes that you sent over before the show started, knowing you like I think I know you, I think I would have bet money that Kiefer would have been on your card this week, and it makes some sense. Okay, let's go down a little bit more then if you want to throw out some guys that you consider bombs this week.
Yeah, so my favorite player on tour right now anymore is Sammy Valamaki. I love this guy. He's such a good long iron player. He's kind of a fun guy to watch, and so I consider him the best long iron player in this field, and he's the second best Bermuda putter. That alone should make him worthy of consideration at north of 60-1. AI Sims ranked him 33 in the field, but an event where longer shots win all the time, I think this is a great time to go back to Sammy. Plays very well against weaker fields like this, demonstrated by his win SM in late November. Made three straight cuts this year, so there's no reason that if his tee to green game is just field average that he can't win this week, because we know the putter can heat up. I like him. I bet him 2-1, top 20, and then a little on the outright. And then our buddy Scott, the founder of the Dexter Moss Memorial, texted me today and reminded me about Eric Van Rooyen. 175-1 and plus 455 top 20 for a guy who comes in second in the field in total strokes gained here the last 2 years. That is absolutely disrespectful for a course horse like this. Yes, his game is not in form, but this is a veteran who can work his way around this course. Definition of a bomb, but a guy I think you definitely want to have on your court card, you know, plus 450 or so, top 20. Is an amazing price on a guy who plays this well here.
Boy, that's a great find right there. And I will say on something like that, you can probably find at least a couple of books where you can expand it out. So if a guy is plus 455 in that territory to be top 20, you're going to get a pretty good number on him to be top 40 as well.
For sure. I would completely agree on that. Yeah. Top 30, top 40, you can often find on DraftKings, you know, closer to the start of the event. So, no, I totally agree. And I think that's a great way to play it. But MGM has some of those as well. So, yeah. And then it's interesting this week, they're doing, on DraftKings, is doing some of the winner without, they're doing winner without Shane Lowry, Nicolai Højgaard, Rasmus, or Gerard. So, all the top four, they're doing some winner without. If you want some different action there, I think that's another fun way to look at this.
Hey, look, I mean, in this tournament.
Oh, I got to tell the story. Yes.
Well, okay. So, I took two guys, Jeff. To lead after round one. I had to do it, right? Because there's no big boy at the top. It's Keith Mitchell at 40-1 to be the first round leader, and my guy, Steven Yeager, 55-1. Come on, let's go.
No, listen, Keith Mitchell is the ultimate course horse, and the Yeager bomb does seem to find his way as a good first round leader a lot. So I don't mind either one of those. You can certainly... first round leader, I don't mind those at all. Either one of those guys can make some birdies and get hot. And I remember when Keith Mitchell won this event, do you remember who he beat down the stretch?
Oh, I know that he won it before, but I don't know who he beat down the stretch.
Brooks Koepka.
Okay.
All right.
So maybe we see when it'd be kind of fun to see a revisit of that here down the stretch on Sunday. I just want to see Koepka play well, get ready for the Masters. Yeah. Hopefully he shows some signs of life this week.
Koepka, a good Koepka and a Tiger in there would be make it a lot of fun. Thanks, my man.
Totally agree. Thanks, guys.
So I had to, I started laughing when I saw who the defending champ is, and it's Joe Highsmith.
Uh-huh.
So on the show tomorrow is TMI Ozzy. So we'll do Bombs Away with our friend Ozzy, who we met for the first time. He came on the air. He bet Joe Highsmith at 950-1. And they got a little carried away about how much he won and how he collected on air. But he's got the
didn't
receipt.
Did he have like $200 on it?
Yeah, he won $200,000. His friend came in a duffel bag with $191,000 and paid him. He needed a birdie on 18 to make the cut.
That's right.
And
I know that,
he shot back-to-back 64s. To hit the course record. And I think he was a situation where he was way back on Sunday, but then posted a great number and everyone came back and it held up and he won by two shots.
So he bet him on Sunday or after he the birdie to make the cut?
I can't remember. He'll tell it tomorrow.
Okay. I think he made the bet on Sunday.
I think you're right.
When he posted a low number and everybody
correct.
Had to fall back.
I believe you're correct.
At 900.
I think he woke up. I think he woke up Saturday morning or Sunday morning and heard the announcer saying, hey, the weather could get dicey.
That's
here.
Right.
If you can post a good number, watch out. And based off of that, he bet it and won $190,000 and then sent us all the pictures. He'll be on tomorrow, bombs away, and give out some great stories. And, you know, if it's not 50 to 1, he doesn't even look at it.
Yeah.
Or higher. It's a great story, and the first time we met him, and he'll be on the show tomorrow with the anniversary of Highsmith.
Up next, we have odds to kick around here. Who is going to get the final number one seed in March Madness? Could be a little juicy. Getting that final one. We'll kick it around and follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.